Failure isn't the enemy, it's the best teammate you're not hanging out with enough. Every athlete wants to succeed, but the truth is this: the athletes who rise the highest are the ones who aren't afraid to fail. They see mistakes as data, setbacks as opportunities, and tough moments as part of the process. Today, we'll be talking about how to build your growth mindset, redefine success beyond wins and stats, and learn from failure the same way that the best athletes in the world do. Because failure isn't a stop sign, it's information. Welcome to Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills. One car ride at a time. Let's dive in. All right, so if we're going to talk about failure, it's important to understand that as an athlete, you are going to fail a lot. And if you're not failing, it means you're not pushing yourself. You're probably playing in a division that's too low for you. If you are playing sports against people who are of similar quality or better, like you're gonna fail, okay? Because you can't always control what happens in a game, a match, and especially in team sports, you're not in full control of what happens. And so failure is just a very normal part of learning and development in any domain of your life, but specifically in sport. Now, this could look like messing up a drill in practice. This could also look like having a personal failure moment in the game. This could look like having a big failure moment in a game, striking out bases loaded or something like that with the game on the line. But the idea here is failure is your friend, especially when you are learning, growing, and adapting. Quite frankly, unless you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play your sport, your goal should be personal growth, like to be the best athlete that you can possibly be. And that's going to involve, if you will, breaking some eggs, right? You're going to have to try stuff. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to evolve. And what that requires is for you not to be afraid of failing and making sure that you're viewing failure moments as information. Okay. And so one of the ways that you can really do that is make sure that you're fostering a growth mindset for yourself. People with a growth mindset have the belief that their abilities can improve with effort, practice, and learning. Okay. And so what that does is it helps failure become a teacher for you, not a threat. That when you have failure moments, you're not like, oh my God, I'm a failure. Right. Instead, you're thinking like, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I get better? The opposite to a growth mindset is a fixed mindset. And the fixed mindset is the belief that your skills and abilities and intelligences are fixed, meaning it's you have what you have and it's not going to get better. And basically, what happens is that when you're in a fixed mindset, when you have a failure moment, for you, that means, oh, see, I'm not good enough. Because your belief is that I can't get better at that thing anyway. So when I fail, that means I've reached the potential of what I'm capable of. Okay. So a fixed mindset is not particularly helpful in any kind of way if you are trying to grow and develop. Now, it's not the end all be all if you have a fixed mindset about something. Let's say you have a fixed mindset about your ability to do trigonometry, right? But once you've passed all your basic math, you're like, I don't really want to use trigonometry and I don't care if I get better at that. Okay, fine. A fixed mindset about that is not going to drastically affect your life. But if you are have a fixed mindset about your skills, abilities, intelligences towards something that you genuinely want to get better at or need to get better at, it's going to get in your way of growth and development. Okay, so the goal is to stay in a growth mindset. And what this could look like, and one of the best examples of this, I don't know how many of you have heard that Michael Jordan quote. It's longer than what I'm truncating it a little bit, but he says something to the effect of, I've taken 26 game-winning shots, and I've missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. What Jordan is getting at here is that attempting, pushing past your limits, trying hard things is how you learn and develop. The reason he was able to be such a clutch player in his time was because he practiced and took the shots. You know, he didn't just hope he made it. He's like, I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna be the guy with the ball in my hand when the game is on the line, and I'm gonna take that shot. And I might fail. It might not go in. But I also might create an iconic moment where I make a crazy shot that wins the NBA playoffs, right? So an NBA championship. So the idea here is that you can't test your limits, you can't push past your comfort zone if you're not willing to fail, right? And so, really thinking about failure as an opportunity to understand what your strengths and weaknesses are and how to grow from there. Okay. So, there's two simple ways to make sure that you're feeding into your growth mindset. The first one is pretty simple. If you're working on a skill or working on an ability, working on some technique for your sport, and you're struggling, right? It's hard, it's not working well yet. That's the phrase we want you to use. Yet, right? By saying yet, right? I'm not good at this yet. I struggle to do this tactic yet. And the idea here is what yet enables you to do is to be realistic. You're acknowledging that you can't do that right now, but you're maintaining hope and you're maintaining a mindset that says, but with work or with practice or with reps, I will get good. I can get good. Okay. And so it just frames things in a way that you can move forward, acknowledge where you're at, but also move forward. Okay. So saying yet anytime you have a failure moment, I just haven't figured that out yet. The other thing that you can do is make really simple goals. And coaches and parents who are listening to this, making sure that those goals are really tangible. If, for example, if you are a pitcher and you're trying to throw a new pitch, okay, I'm going to throw this in. I mean, it might not be appropriate, but just for sake of having a thing, I'm going to throw this pitch at least once to every batter this next inning that I play in, right? Or, okay, how did it go? It might not go well, but I'm going to throw it. And my goal is to just trust myself to throw it. It might, whatever that is. And it's like, okay, did you throw it or once per batter? Great. That's tangible. Or I'm trying to hit this target. And right now I hit it 5 out of 10 times. I'm going to keep throwing this pitch until I can hit it 7 out of 10 times, something along those lines. Okay. But essentially, what you want to do is make really tangible benchmarks for people in whatever skill or ability they're trying to develop. Because what that does is it, in like incremental, and what that does is it proves to them that you can, in fact, get better. And I know just a simple one I remember from 5th grade math is we used to do 100 multiplication tables. It's just a sheet with 1 to 12, like times tables, right? And what we do, we had a minute. The teacher would set a timer, you had a minute to see how many you could get through in a minute. When you first started doing that or weren't great at timetables, you only got to 20. But then that was tangible. Okay, the goal for the end of next week is to get to 25. And then to 30 or whatever. You keep going up from there. But essentially, what that does by tracking and having a specific goal is it enables you to see progress. And that progress is proof that you can, in fact, get better, which reinforces the growth mindset. All right. So you want to make sure that you are setting very simple, tangible goals and redefining what it means to be successful. And that leads us right into our next point that a failure is not a failure if you're thinking about it in the right way, okay? And so I know for me, when I work with a lot of athletes, they struggle, they have really poor definitions of what success is. For them, success is scoreboards and stats. Did I get the win? Did I hit 300? Did I get a certain shooting percentage? Did I hit a certain score on my golf game? Well, those are all important metrics, but they're not the only measure of success. There's a lot of other things that go into being successful, and you want to make sure you have a broader definition It might be scoreboard and other things. It might be stats and other things. Because for the most part, especially if you're playing team sports, you don't control the scoreboard. And some of the stats, again, for a game like softball or baseball, as a hitter, you could do everything right. You can tear the cover off the ball and still not get a hit because it went right at somebody. And so that's not always the most accurate assessment of success. And so what I really want you to think about is what are the other aspects of performing that I should consider in my definition of success? So do you have things like your effort involved? Effort is, hey, did I give my best effort today on a scale of 1 to 5? 1 being not at all, 5 being yeah. Like, how did I do? Right? Did I give everything I had today? That can be part of your success definition. It could be your process. Did you use the right strategies in practice today? Or did you stick to your pregame routine? Did you stick to the tactics that you and your coach agreed upon? Whatever it is, if the answer is yes, if you've stuck to your process or you did the thing you were planning to do, that's a success. That's a form of success. Doesn't mean it might have worked out in results, but that's part of the process, right? Did I stick to the process? Another definition, something that you should consider in your definition of success is learning. Did I learn today? Did I gain something from this rep, this drill, this game? What do I know about myself now? That is considered success, right? There's now more information that you have today that you didn't have yesterday. Another opportunity for defining success or being part of your success definition is your courage, your willingness to, did you push outside of your comfort zone today? Did you do a new drill? Did you try a new technique? Did you put yourself in a pressure situation that maybe you would have avoided in the future? That is still success. Okay. Another option is your teamwork. How did you do as a teammate today? And again, that might look like as a p individual player, maybe on a soccer field, you as a defensive player. Let's say that your team is much better than the other team you're playing, so the ball stayed on offense most of the time on the other half. And so you didn't have a lot to do as a defender. But doesn't mean you can't still be a great teammate. Were you cheering people on? Were you helping them understand where everybody was on the field? Were you communicating? Were you being a good teammate, cheering on your buddies when they scored? If yes, okay, that's a success today, okay? It could be part of your mental game. I struggle to have confidence in these situations. So today my goal is to really just talk to myself in a way that enables me to be confident in that situation. How did it go? So there's so many other aspects of performing that go into being successful. And you want to make sure you have, when you're defining success for yourself at practice, at games, make sure you have a lot more breadth. A lot of other things count as success, okay? So really making sure you think through that when you're deciding what success is. And if all else fails, remember that when you say fail, if you like use fail as an acronym, first attempt in learning, okay? It's not a bad thing, right? Go fall on your face, try it out. You're gonna learn a lot, all right? So the value of failing is really important because it teaches you, it gives you data, it gives you information, okay? Folks like Serena Williams says, hey, I don't like to lose, but I know I'm going to learn something every time I do. Steph Curry, success is not an accident. Failure is part of the process. Simone Biles says, hey, we need to fail to grow and learn. So thinking through this, the elite and the best really understand that avoiding failure, one, is not possible, but two, isn't even helpful. Right? When you lean into failure, you discover more about yourself and the best understand how to use that failure to give them information to be better moving forward, to be successful moving forward. They evaluate what happened, they adjust, and they improve. Okay. Again, a reminder that if you're trying to define success, make sure it's nice and broad. But we want to make sure that you're looking back on any failure moment with a systematic process to make sure you're getting all the things you need from it to be successful. To think of it like you're mining. Right, and you want to find the gold nuggets? Well, there's a specific way you want to process and reflect on your performance in order to do that. Now, I just taught that in the 24-hour rule last episode. I'm not going to go into in-depth here, but take a re-listen to that episode, re-watch that episode. But essentially, the simple process is asking yourself, okay, what actually happened? What can I learn from it? What did I do well? And then what will I try differently next time? So it's just a simple process of Evaluate what happened, what worked, what didn't, what will you do differently in the future? Before we dive into the conversation prompts today, I want to kindly ask you that if you are enjoying Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families, I would be very grateful if you would leave a review or even share this episode with somebody. Your feedback and your sharing, your word of mouth helps this podcast grow and get into more hands of people who could really benefit from these conversations. So I would greatly appreciate your support in either leaving a review or sharing. Sharing is caring. All right, y'all, before we get into the conversation, let's just do a quick reminder of the rules. There are no wrong answers. Take turns talking and listening. Try to minimize your distractions as best you can. And remember that you can pause after each individual question and discuss it, or listen to all of the questions and just discuss, I don't know, whatever floats your boat, the things that you find interesting or that are relevant for you right now. All right, so let's dive into our first question for today. And this is for both parents and kids, anybody listening. What is a recent mistake or failure that you've experienced that taught you something useful? Okay. So share with each other, what's a recent mistake or failure moment that you experienced, and what did you learn from it? And maybe in the moment you didn't because you were just frustrated, but think back on it now. What'd you learn? What can you do differently? Our second question. If you had to redefine success without winning as one of the definitions, how else could you define success? Now, I want to be clear here. It's okay if winning is part of your definition. That's fine. Pursuing winning is a good thing, but it is very limiting if that's the only part of the definition that you have. And so we want to, because you, again, you could play your absolute best game, you could run your best race, and still somebody was better than you. But it doesn't mean you weren't successful. How else would you define success? Or how do you currently define success? And are there domains that are maybe missing from your definition that we talked about earlier? Effort, process, teamwork, courage, your mental game. What else could you add? And quite frankly, this goes for you parents too, not just sports related, okay? Any domain of your life. How could you define success more broadly? All right, our third question for today. Thinking about an elite athlete that you admire in whatever sport you love, I would like you to think about how do they talk about failure? And if you don't know that off the top of your head, maybe just Google it or do a little YouTubing and say, hey, Serena Williams, how does she talk about failure? Or Caitlin Clark, how does she talk about failure? Or Derek Jeter, whoever. And how does the way they talk about failure, what does that teach you about how to improve or how they got to where they're at? What could you learn from that? All right, and our final question today, and this is really for a little bit of self-awareness for the adults listening, the coaches and parents listening. Thinking about this question, this is for you to ask your young athlete, okay? It's potential that this could be a hard conversation. I should say uncomfortable, not hard, because you might learn something about yourself that you don't want to hear, but that's okay because we're all learning and growing, okay? So I'm going to say this as if I'm a parent talking to a kid or a coach talking to a kid. So just go with that frame of reference. How do my reactions, my words, tone, or body language after your tough moments affect the way you feel about failure? Okay. So what I'm trying to do here is really encourage honest two-way conversation that helps kids and parents be a little bit more strategic in how they approach failure moments. Because parents, sometimes when our kids fail, we experience disappointment on their behalf, right? We're not mad at them necessarily, unless it's a behavioral thing. Anyway, you get my drift. When your kids have failure moments, it's hard to not be neutral. And that's okay. That's part of being a parent, but making sure that you are being a safe place for them to have those failure moments and help them reflect in productive ways is important. Because if the things that we're doing with our words, our tone, or our body language are inadvertently telling them that failure moment that they had, that we're judging them and that they are somehow less worthy of our love because of it, we're going to cause more problems in the future, right? We're going to create more fear of failure in those kids moving forward. All right. So just talk about that. Lean into that conversation and see what comes out of it. All right, y'all, remember to keep those conversations rolling and let's make these car rides count. Thank you so much for joining me on Car Ride Conversations for Sports Families. If you found this episode helpful, again, share it with somebody who you think would benefit from this conversation. If you are looking for weekly tips and mindset shifts and conversation prompts to help you or your athlete stay confident, calm, and clutch, please consider joining my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. And if you have any suggestions for me and any topics that you're interested in that I haven't covered yet, shoot, I've been doing this for almost a year now. What do you want to know? What do you want to hear? What would you like me to create some conversation prompts around? So if you want to share some ideas with me, there's a link in the show notes, and you could always reach me on Facebook or Instagram at VAlstonCoaching. All right, y'all. Look forward to hearing from you. I hope you have an amazing week. I will see you next time.